Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will encourage you to keep an open mind and to prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems, and some will have no spiritual beliefs. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is keep an open mind. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight, I have as my special guest Dr. Kahu Kahealani. And I'm not going to attempt to pronounce her last two names because I am at a loss. They are Hawaiian. She is a Hawaiian metaphysical minister, healer, and a practitioner of, what is it, Kahu?
Ho'oponopono.
And what does that mean?
That means to set sacred and right all relations.
Okay. And she's one of a council of 11 respected elders who were chosen, initiated, and given the sacred duty of offering an ancestral blessing to the world, an amazing process that must be experienced. She is Kahu, that's Reverend and Spiritual Director for the High Visions of Satchitananda, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce the next unless you would like to.
Hali Malama Lama Ola Pono. It is a holistic Hawaiian health and wellness center.
Aha. Well, It's dedicated to perpetuating a powerful integration of ancient Lapao wisdom and state-of-the-art vibrational healing modalities for rejuvenating, relaxing, cleansing, and revitalizing mind, heart, body, and spirit. And so now let me introduce the woman I'm going to simply introduce is Dr. Kahu Kahealani. How are you tonight? Aloha.
Aloha. I'm doing so wonderful, and it is a great pleasure to be with you.
Well, likewise. And please tell our guest what aloha means, because it has more than one meaning, does it not?
It absolutely does, and the tourist version would be that it means hello or goodbye. You will see we say aloha. Hawaiian language, just like Sanskrit mantras, instead of it being very linear like the English language, it has a lot of depth, and so one word might have 100 different subtler meanings to it. And that's the way the word aloha is. So it's very, very all-encompassing. It means love. And it also means alo, A-L-O, means face-to-face, being in the presence of the ha, that is the breath of God. So when you're
beautiful.
Aloha, yeah, isn't that just an amazing way of being and seeing, is that you offer your aloha, you offer your awareness, your heart, your love, always knowing that you're in the presence of the divine and that you're always connected to the divine in all relationships. And so when Hawaiians meet, they don't do a handshake to respect and greet. They actually put their foreheads together and their noses, and they breathe the one breath. Mm. And in that simple reminder, we know that we are breathing God's breath. We are all connected. We are all one. So can you imagine, David, if we had all of our business corporate meetings, if we had to hone in?
There's my little dog sounding off. She's with me in the studio. So can I imagine what?
Can you imagine if all of our business meetings, we started by putting our third eye together and our noses and breathing one breath?
Ooh, we'd open the universe.
Exactly, because you can't do that and not know that you're united, that you're lokahi, inherent oneness together. And
well, my dear, let's move on. Mm-hmm. Let's move on, mm-hmm. if you don't mind. We have a lot of ground to cover in only an hour.
Yes, we do.
And just to let you know, we do have a caller on the line. And caller, mm-hmm. I'm sorry I cannot talk to you right now, but I will get to you before the midpoint of the show if you would like to ask our metaphysical minister and healer a question or ask for assistance. I'm sure she would be willing to help you as she has done before. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, beautiful. Okay, for those who didn't hear your first interview, which was wonderful about a month ago, would you please mm-hmm. give us just the basic essence of your life story?
Yes. Well, the basic essence is that I've actually moved through a lot of obstacles and a lot of challenges. I myself was molested at 2 years old and went on to become a doctor, graduating from UCLA in 1980, and became one of the pioneers of holistic dentistry, and created my life very big, marrying an attorney and having beautiful babies, and then divorcing the attorney. So I was left pregnant, going through a divorce, which was very emotionally devastating. And then while I had my five-chair dental practice, then my live-in housekeeper molested my babies. And actually, before the smoke cleared, there were about four different, completely different situations, molestations of my babies, maybe around every 2 years. And then my dental practice was also embezzled. So I've seen a lot of hurts. You know, I am a adult child of an alcoholic father. We didn't call it that back then. But those tendencies, I call them intergenerational traumas, are handed mm-hmm. down. And they're mm-hmm. handed down through the DNA. So I have come from emotional, psychological abuse, and like I say, the molestations. And those have all been incredibly wonderful stepping stones in my life.
Well, now that raises an interesting question. I have a couple of questions for you. Why do you say that they were wonderful stepping stones, number one?
Well, it's all in your understanding. And even in the Christian Bible, it says, in all thy getting, get the understanding. And we mostly, because I do work with people that have come from drug addiction or just all families raising your children in wanting to heal your own inner pains and not pass that on to the children and clients that have had abuse issues and any kind of trauma in their lives. And what I discovered, because my tutu was Kahuna from Molokai, and she completely embodied the essence of aloha. I never, ever saw her not in the sweetest state of radiant, radiant love. And as a child, I always wanted to grow as tall as she was. And now I realize it was as tall in her mana, her divine sacred energy, her consciousness, her connectedness to the divine. And so in the ancient Hawaiian spirituality, we are taught, and I mentioned this on the other show, that we're already connected to the heavens and we're already connected to the earth. And we're connected to all life and all relations, and that we're all human beings all over the world, no matter the countries, the races, the religions, we're all walking up the same mountain of life. And the goal is not to fight to be right or wrong, but it's to malama, to take cherished care of your aloha, your bowl of light. And that when those injuries and negativities happen, that a stone goes into the bowl. And that if we hold on to it, it itself, and you've heard of the law of attraction, well, those hurts actually magnetize another experience. And that's what was happening for me. Because how powerful is that I could manifest and draw a Melissa from the other side of the world. You see, it's from these subconscious hurts, you see. And, of course, there's quantum physics to explain that connectedness, that it is all at a vibrational level. And so the subconscious hurt that I had from being molested at two, so it wasn't even in my conscious mind, it drew me to choose helpers in my life that had the corresponding wound, just like a nut and a bolt. They go together. There's in the movie Fatal Attraction. So there are these attractions that happen, and that's why it's so important that we are taught to first work to clean our own bowl. So when all of those challenges were happening to me, my kupuna, my ancestors, they actually were a little stern with me to teach me not to blame, not to complain, not to resist whatever is, you see, because it's all perfect. It's all there for lessons to be learned so that you can find where your stones are that you don't even know that you have, that are blocking your money, blocking your relationship, blocking your own inner peace and self-love and your health, you see.
Well, let me jump in right there, if I may.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I want to move things along, and I have a few questions here. First of all, I'm going to ask you two questions. Would you please explain to the listeners who might not know what the law of attraction is, and then relate that to your life in terms of negativity, and if you agree with the concept that negativity attracts negativity, positivity attracts positivity, and therefore it is so important for us to be mindful of the place in which we are vibrating so that we can change it at the moment we start to slip.
And that's exactly what happened for me. And it is done at the thought level. So we must be mindful of the kinds of thinking, the thoughts that we have. We can have radiant, life-enhancing thoughts. I call those aloha thoughts. Or we can have haole without the breath. Those are contracted thoughts. And so those would be stones that are in your bowl, and they magnetize the same vibration. So the negative ones will attract that and even stronger negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the loving ones will attract that and even stronger radiant love. And so
okay.
in the Bible, it says, to he who has, more is given. And to he who does not have, even that he has is taken away. And that is this law of attraction, you see. And
okay.
so once we sit with that and move from an intellectual concept of it, because in 1977, I intellectually understood that when you point one finger, three come back at you. When you point one finger, three come back at you. But I didn't really understand that energetically until, like I say, the ancestors. So I'm in emotional devastation, and my inner thoughts are, that dirty old man did this, that my husband did that. And I'm pointing the finger with a vibration of blame and complain. And my
mm-hmm.
ancestors redirected my awareness. What kind of mind do you have? What kind of heart do you have? You know, it's okay. You may be right about the wrong that you see. But where is your alignment? And so when you point one finger, three come back at you, that three is to help you find your corresponding hurt, negative memory in your data, your subconscious, that is actually attracting and is a mirror reflection of whatever is happening outside of you. And so
what is the simplest way to do that?
Well, there is no simple way to do it.
Well, I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy, but let's try to keep it as simple as possible.
As simple as possible, you make a commit to stand on that. And so any negativities that are happening, you will not point a finger. You're going to look inside for, it's like a trigger point. It's a charge. It's a pain that is inside of you. And you hold yourself accountable for that charge, because it's never really the current situation. It's an unresolved emotional issue from before. So you stop blaming. You become accountable, and you pay attention. And my grandmother said that before the sun sets, you hooli the bowl. So you want to empty it out, and it can be that simple as letting it go and
mm-hmm.
releasing it. Now,
mm-hmm.
for myself, I found that music and chanting were ways that helped the mind get uncaught. Because when you get caught, your mind is like a monkey clenching a banana, okay?
Oh, yes, it is. Monkey
and
brain.
Yes. And that's uh-huh. how in India they catch monkeys, is they put a cage with a banana inside, and they will slip their hand through and grab it, and they give up their freedom and even their life because they won't let go.
Right.
So
well,
you want to let go, and singing to yourself, chanting, is a way of vibrationally putting a salve to allow you to let go of those clenched, hurtful thoughts.
Well, letting go is something that one can do in an action that will also serve as a metaphor for surrendering to God. And
yes.
in so doing, what happens is that you leave the result to God. And that's not to say that you don't have a hand in it, because we co-create. Wouldn't you say?
We absolutely do co-create, and we're doing that in every moment with every thought, every feeling, every perception, every spoken word, and every performed action. They reverberate into the universe. They are never forgotten, and they're never overlooked. So we may send some negative ones out there, but they will circle around, and a little bit later, they come back to haunt us. So we want to become vibrationally correct.
Yeah. Well, this is where we need to take personal responsibility for our lives, folks, because we do have a hand in creating our reality. We can't leave it all to God alone, because what we... most of us don't realize is that God is within us and all around us in every part of creation. So in essence, we are as much God as is anything in creation. And we are powerful if we take charge of that power and let go of the notion that we're limited. Now, I want to back up to the story of the last molestation that you shared before, and if you would just briefly tell me what was different about that and your reaction to it and how you did not react, but you detached with love.
Absolutely. That was my turning point in my life for inner mastery and really learning how to shine light into darkness and to maintain a state of love no matter what. And so I had three other practices, but I had done this inner work where you keep owning responsibility, emptying the bowl, practicing that you want to choose love. And back to that, what you said about surrendering to God, it was when I learned a great devotion, because you can't hold two thoughts at the same time. So you can be right, but not correct. And so when you have a judgmental thought, it doesn't feel good inside of you. And for the love of God, you can let that go and choose in that same moment to be in devotion, to be in gratitude, to be in worship with the divine. And so that was also an incredible, powerful shift for me, the more that I prayed for devotion. And back to that law of attraction, you know, I could speak the word and make it happen, and I could get the parking place and the new car and the new home and this and that. But I didn't know what I was supposed to be praying for. Now I know that your first prayer is for greater devotion and for grace.
Okay.
And when you do that, that will connect you in such a way that whatever else challenges are or the things you've got to let go of, you will have grace added to it, in addition to your own willpower. So you aren't really doing it on your own. And so through that process of inner self-inquiry, then when the last molestation happened, instead of me judging, blaming, reacting, I was in a mindset of responding. And so I just asked God, it's happened again. What is my kuleana, my responsibility? What is my sacred duty in this moment? And from quieting my opinions and shoulds and coulds, then I was able to hear inner guidance. And so I was guided it to exactly what I should do. And I was able to go and look the molester in the eye with so much love. This time, I knew we were one. I knew that he wasn't trying to hurt me or my daughter, that he was just hurting from the stones that were in his bowl. And mm-hmm. he had acted from there. And so I had great compassion and love for him. I cared about what was happening with him. And what God told me was that he was to pay for a year of therapy for my baby and to commit to a year of therapy for himself, including Alcoholics Anonymous. And because I came to him, seeing God in him, knowing that my Lord lived in his heart, he didn't respond the way the others did, which was defend, justify, and attack. They, you know, wanted to deny and react and claw. He melted in the sweetest atonement tears, and he had no defense. He accepted what he understood that I knew, and so he consented to therapy for himself and to take care of the therapy for my daughter. And it was actually the most exquisitely beautiful experience. And because I was in that healing state instead of a reactionary state, then my own little girl who was 8, she looked up at me with her beautiful brown eyes, and she said, "Mommy, my great me told me this was going to happen. But my little me thought my great me didn't know what it was talking about. So I let my guard down. And then he came." And when she said that, God revealed to me that these two souls had known each other from a previous lifetime. And they were back for atonement. And they were still a little clumsy with their atonement. But I got to see that God was working through us and with each one of us, and that God was teaching my 8-year-old something that many adults never learn, and that's that you never mentally override your inner guidance, you see. And so it was just an amazing experience. And I knew that I had finally graduated. I had finally dissolved those pains and traumas in my bowl, neutralized it, and the light had reoccurred, and that I would never have to look another molester in the eye. And I Beautiful. Saw what true aloha really is, and how your kuleana, your purpose, is to shine light into darkness. And that's been happening ever since. And just like those dominoes fell, they all stood back up with even more abundance. And now I live with nectar dripping on my heart in every moment, no matter what.
Well, you've raised all kinds of questions for me, my goodness. So you can set things straight. You can change your reality.
Yes.
You can atone for quote-unquote bad karma from previous lives and heal it in those lives at the same time.
Absolutely.
Later I want to come back to incarnation or reincarnation, so if you'll remind me of that. But
I was just going to say that when we do this, when we master the moment, we heal 7 generations before us and 7 generations after us.
Wow, that is amazing. All right, we're going to get to the caller in just a minute. First of all, I want to do 2 things. I want to ask you what your spiritual training has been. And then I'm going to play a commercial on my new book, and then we will take the call.
Absolutely. my spiritual training, I am a minister through the Science of the Mind. They call it the Center for Spiritual Living. I'm also a practitioner through that mana'o, that philosophy. I have studied and walked as a Muslim, Hindu, Christian, Buddhist, and Jewish. I've studied the five major holy books, and it's all in the application.
Okay. Anything else you want to share? Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Oh, no. Just the Hawaiian spirituality from my own tutu, my own grandmother, yeah.
Well, that's significant from what you shared in the previous interview. And I invite our listeners to go and search the archives on freespiritbroadcasting.com to find that interview with Dr. Kahu Kahealani. And it was about a month ago. Again, that is freespiritbroadcasting.com. And now is a promotion for my latest book, not the last book, trust me, I've just written one on addiction. This is Shades of Gay by David Clark.
Prepare to be shocked. Prepare to be moved. Prepare to laugh. Prepare to cry. And prepare to be inspired. Dive into David Clark's latest book, Shades of Gay, and you will find yourself plunged into the trenches of sexual addiction. You will embark upon a kaleidoscopic tour from the abyss to higher ground. In the beginning, it was love at first sight when Daniel and Mark met, but through the years, that same love became tainted. Daniel, an alcoholic and sex addict, has found himself unable to resist the lure of other men. When Mark discovers his infidelity, he leaves Daniel, who begins a dark descent into sexual tryst after tryst. Shades of Gay reveals the myriad desires a lost man can permit his body and soul to revel in despite the pain they bring. But can such fleeting moments of pleasure bring meaning to life? Will Daniel realize the love he had with Mark is worth more than the sweat spent in other men's beds?
And the answer to that lies on Amazon.com, where the book is discounted, and it has received all 5 out of 5 star reviews. So please support me. If you're interested in a romantic tale that tackles some difficult subjects, that also contains humor, love, and light, and a story of human triumph, look for Shades of Gay by David Clark. And now I'm going to take the caller, and I will ask her to identify herself. It'll take just a moment. While we're waiting for her to come on the line, because things seem to be slow, I'm going to ask you if you've ever had a faith crisis.
A faith crisis. Yes. When I had all of the molestations and loss in my life, I remember just being so emotionally devastated that it knocked where I didn't know if God existed. And I remember, actually, I compare it to a night that Martin Luther King had when he got a death threat on the phone, and it shuddered him to his bones. And he knew that his dad was 100 miles away, and he couldn't believe in his dad's God. He had to go and make that inner connection with God that night for himself. And he did. And God shouted to him, Martin Luther, stand up for righteousness. And through that connection, he did stand up and gave the legacy that he gave. And the reason I compare it to that is because I knew that I was in such an emotional devastation that, you know, when you're drowning, they say, don't go down the third time because you don't come back up. And that's the way I was feeling, that I was going down for the third time, just so shocked by all of the hurts that had happened. And I called to God and I said, God, if you are real, show your faith to me right now. And from the depth of that prayer, I will have to say that God responded in the most magical and incredible ways. And God revealed himself in the trees, just everywhere. Nature spirits began to sing to me. And even when I looked in the mirror, God was present looking back at me. And that was the beginning of my devotion to really savor a tangible relationship with the divine that has grown. And so the more that I give up my own opinions and things like that, it is true, God feels all of those painful places in such amazing ways.
Mm. Well, it is amazing how God works. I'm having trouble getting the caller on the line. It is a technical difficulty. Caller, please hang in there. And if for some reason you're disconnected, call back. I apologize. So what would you say to somebody?
And please, if the technical difficulty exists and you have my permission to give her my number, and I will take a personal call from her to handle whatever her question was.
Do you mind putting that number out on the air?
Not
or
at
yes?
all.
Okay.
That would be 8.
So, caller, get your pen handy. In just a moment, she will give you the number. First, while you're getting your pen handy, I'm going to ask another question. And that is, what suggestion would you have to somebody who's going through a faith crisis?
Well, my suggestion is actually all put in a manual. I have a 12-step manual. It's called The Sacred Hawaiian Way. And it is a manual that the ancestors gave to me. It is my life's work. And the answers and the way that I begin to master my own mind and the hurts and beings in my mind. And so it's very efficient. And it's not a reading, intellectual reading. It is more of a workbook where you really get to know yourself and you learn how to go in the garden and pluck the weeds. And so that's what I would highly recommend to anyone that is suffering and moving through hurts and obstacles.
And where can they get it?
They can get that from my website and or through my Facebook.
Okay, what is your website, please?
That would be The Sacred Hawaiian Way. And so that's SacredHawaiian Way, WAY. And then it's .weebly.com.
Thank you. Now, I was able to get the caller on the line, but in case there's anybody else that might be listening that you would be willing to talk to, would you provide your phone number, please?
That would be 808-298-6411.
Thank you.
Again, that's 808-298-6411.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. We appreciate your generosity. And caller, who do we have on the line?
Hello.
Hello.
Aloha.
Hi, this is Jill. I called the last time, and then we spoke afterwards. Do you remember?
Yes, Jill. How are you?
You know, I have done so many healing things, and nothing worked like when I was talking to you and you did the chant. Nothing.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it was such a clearing. I wish I would have, we would have connected 5 years ago. Nothing cleared me like that. Why? Why? What's so powerful about this? The chance that you did. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, I'm so happy to hear that. And that is what we're here for. It's the reason that I walked through all of the painful things to be victorious, is to be here and to be a channel to offer that to others. And it's very, very true, because the vibration of love and chanting, it reaches places that medicine cannot reach. And even for myself, when I was anointed with that chanting, it made the difference of struggle in my life, because before, I would say it made the difference between walking from California to New York, which you can do, and you can fall all in the canyons all along the way, or catching a Concorde jet. And so that is one of the things that I do offer. It's called Ho'omanamana, and it comes from the ancestors. It comes from all of the great beings that have ever walked the face of the earth, that when we do those chants and the blessing, the transference, that we are connected to all of our angels, all of our ancestors.
Well, it was amazing. The next day, I was like a brand new person. I hadn't felt like this. I don't even know how many years it's been.
Yay!
Seriously.
Well, keep up the good work. Because thing about the blessing, it keeps working. It keeps reverberating. It's doing the cleaning. It's cleaning up the umbilical cord to the heavens and all through the nervous system and the nadis.
Can you do it at the end of the show again? It was just beautiful.
Why don't you do it now?
Well, let's see. I'm not in a position right now where I can really offer that.
Okay.
But if you will call me, I will definitely offer it to you again, or if anyone else would love to have one of those blessings, I will definitely make time to do that.
I want to stay there. It was so, I was so cleared.
Yes.
I need to keep that, stay there.
It's all about the clearing. And that's what the manual does as well. Because it's like that there's some muddy water in the bottom of the glass, right? And so the blessing goes and cleans out gunk that you didn't even know that you had there. But the manual teaches you how not to pour more muddy water in.
Okay.
So that's how to take the accelerated path.
Okay.
Well, Jill, let me ask you a question.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What was the essence of the blessing that you recall?
You mean the next day?
No. You said you wanted her to repeat what she'd done before, and it sounded like she'd given you a blessing. I wonder if you could give me the essence of what it was.
Like, what was it like for me?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I've really, really had some difficult, a lot of abuse in my life, a lot of trauma, an extremely toxic family, layer upon layer upon layer, 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 and I've really had, and it's just really beaten me down, and I've had several rough years.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt the next day I felt brand new. Like, I can't even, it was gone. Not, it was, you know what I'm saying? It was all this stuff. Like she said, the mud was gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I had the radio on. I was dancing around the house cleaning. I mean, I was just brand new. Brand new.
Wow. And has
brand
it stayed
new.
With
the
you?
The mud was gone. I wasn't that.
Okay.
You know,
has
it
was stayed
at
with
a
you?
Distance. I wasn't that, and it was at a distance.
Okay.
A distance. It wasn't in me anymore.
Yes.
Great.
Yes. And that's because we cut Akka cords. We are all connected, and so we're connected with our lessons that we're supposed to learn, and those are called attachments. And so you want to be mindful of your aversions and your attachments. And so in that blessing, we go and are... They go, and they cut the Akka cords, you see. And that's the freedom that you feel, where the situation can look the same, but it's not pulling you down.
Right, it's not inside of you.
Exactly.
Kahu, can you give an example for those that aren't familiar with the word attachment or what that might translate to? Can you just give a couple of examples of what attachments can be?
Excuse me. I mentioned the word charge, or, you know, with my clients, I will hear that in husband and wife situations, he'll say, "She knows how to push my buttons." Okay.
Yes.
It's not that she knows how, but they have matching Akka cords. They have matching yogis would call them samskaras, and they fit like a nut and a bolt, and they just go together. And you can see these between husbands and wives, or any relationship. You can see it between parents and children. Actually, that is what you see around the teenage years, when there becomes a friction. So whenever there is a friction or a charge or a button pushed, it's a sign that there is an attachment or an aversion happening there. And those are what we call stones in the bowl. So you have these matching stones that create a friction. Anything that pulls you out of love and out of harmony is one of these attachments.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Jill, did you have anything else that you wanted to ask the Reverend?
You know, it's really been on my mind since you did that blessing.
Yeah.
Can anyone learn how to do that so they can do it for others?
That is a very good question. And in 2010, I was given permission to initiate others to be able to offer these blessings. And so I do that through Skype. I do it through retreats and counseling. It's a transference of the divine energy.
Because I would love to be able to do that, because I would like to help others with it too. Seriously. Like, it feels right to me.
That makes my heart so happy, because that is the time that we're living in right now. And one of the reasons that I am able to offer this, when Captain Cook came to Hawaii, he brought a lot of disease. But wouldn't it have been wonderful if instead he took back these blessings to the world and took the aloha back to everyone? We'd have a whole different world.
Yes.
Well, that's the opportunity that we have right now. So please do connect with me, and
okay.
We will definitely set up an initiation.
I am 100% serious. I have the chills talking about it. There are like
yeah.
so many people I've known in my life. If I only knew about this and knew how to do it, I
Isn't
could have
that
given that
true?
To them.
It's
I could
so
have given that
true.
To them.
Yes.
I'm just
well,
getting
you know,
the chills.
It said it's
You're giving
no good
me
unless
chicken
you,
skin.
Yeah, it said it's no good unless you pass it on. So obviously you want to pass on the gift, Jill.
Yes.
And that
yes.
is what we call living the spiritual life. So thank you for that.
Thank you. It is a gift.
Well, I'm going to say goodbye to you now. I have a few more questions for the
okay.
Reverend.
I will call
thank
you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you,
and
Jill.
Listen.
You sound great.
Thank you. It's because of you.
That's what you think.
Thank you.
It's because you reached out for help, Jill. You're the one that did it.
Thank you.
Kahu just facilitated.
You put her on the radio, so I found her. So thank you.
Right. Well,
Mahalo.
I found her. She found me. We all found each other, so that's wonderful. That's great.
That's so great.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you, Jill. Okay, goodbye. Okay, now I wanted to get back to the topic of reincarnation or incarnational experiences. And obviously you believe in that. And I'm just reflecting on whatever my thought was before. But...
Mm-hmm.
Is it true that everything is happening in the now moment? In other words, what we perceive as linear time is incorrect thinking.
We don't like to use the word incorrect, and yes, everything
okay.
is happening in the now. Now is all there is.
So what word would you use instead of incorrect?
Just that now is all there is.
Okay. Okay, that's good. I don't like,
yes.
actually, I don't like good, I don't like bad, I don't like right, I don't like wrong. They're all judgments, and they're
yes.
easy traps for us to fall into, because it's all good. And
it is all good,
whatever,
and it's all right. Wherever you're standing at the mountain at that time, that is true for you in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you believe that the reason for reincarnation is to round out our souls, that God gives us all a chance to grow, that none of us go home until we all go home because we are already there?
Yes.
How's that for
and
a paradox?
That's a great one. I
yeah.
like to give the idea of walking up this mountain. And so,
yes.
you know, when I've studied the five major religions, there is always a kindergarten in each of those religions, and then there's a first grade, second, then there's a junior high, there's a high school, there's a junior college, university, and professional school. Cool. There's all of the subtleties. So that's in each religion. So you have your fundamentalism at the more kindergarten level. And so we all are walking up this mountain. And some of us will take many lifetimes to reach the top. So there are three levels of human beings. You have the human beings that will live and go to work, build a house, and die, and they will never know that there's anything else. And that's how that lifetime was supposed to go for them. The second level, they will live about the same way, but right at their death, that the veil is removed and they see that there was more. Actually, Onassis, that was his lifetime. He lived it for power and control, just, you know, and at the end of his life, the veil was removed. That is kind of a shocking and a painful realization that you've lived, and maybe it was off a little bit, your purpose, your goal.
Mm-hmm.
But the pain of the veil being removed then sets him up for the next lifetime where he comes and he is awake and he knows he's on a spiritual pathway and that we do need to remove the stones in our bowl, that is what our true goal is. And then there's the practice of doing that. And so that's what's happening, whether you know it or not, believe it or not, we move through those three levels. Oh,
well,
and what I want to say, there's something called a yoga brashta, and that soul almost made it to awakening or enlightenment in the last lifetime, but left the body right before it. And so in this lifetime, they come back, and usually they will have addiction problems or, you know, some great challenges, you see, because just like when the ocean and the river join, they say that's a sacred area. And so we're like these rivers, and we're la-da-da, we're going down. But when you get close to the ocean, another force is starting to suck and pull you in. And so that can be a little scary, actually, or a little tumultuous when you realize that there is this other power that is moving you through. So yoga brashtas can have a life where it's a little bit like the joining of the river and the ocean.
Well, guess what? We've run out of time. And I didn't get a quarter of the way through my questions. So I'd like to invite you back for yet a third time. Would you be willing?
That would be so much fun.
Great. Well, I made a couple of notes of questions that just occurred. And just to tantalize the listeners, I'm going to ask her the next time, is there such a thing as a new soul and an old soul? And for her to illuminate us on how the teachings, Jesus' teachings on reincarnation, were struck down by the Council of Nicaea. So surprise, surprise, Jesus believed in reincarnation.
Absolutely.
So you and I will have to talk again, and we'll set up a new date, hopefully within the next month or so. And for now, I thank you so much, and I know that Jill is grateful, and our listeners are grateful, I'm sure, for the illumination that you've provided today. So thank you again.
And thank you so much. It's always a great pleasure to be here.
Oh, you are welcome. So now we come again to a close. Once again, we can stop and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Thank you.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks to find common ground and take it to the next level here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.